and welcome to Birthday Skin from home.
Remote. We're only 2 years late.
Remote. I'm not having this. I was trying to get us on this hype for a long, long time.
I know, I'm not dissing, I'm just saying. No diss.
Well, I'm quite comfortable. I'm in my own home, with my own mic. You're in your own home with your own mic. Got a glass of wine. Glug, glug. Cheers.
I've got no lip balm, though. I'm a bit worried.
I've got some. Here you go. I'm passing it through the screen. Have you got it?
I'm not impressed. I have some down the side of the sofa. Maybe I'll shuffle and get some soon.
What? It's just hiding. That's where you keep it, down the side of the sofa.
No, it dropped the other day and I've just not got it. Do you know how how many lip balms I have? I have so many because, like, it's my worst nightmare to have dry lips.
Yeah. And now you've got them.
Can't do it.
Welcome to your worst nightmare.
My worst nightmare is Momo. They're not dry yet.
I wondered if you fans could hear Alex walking down the stairs then. Could you hear him?
No.
Slight interruptions. I also have some very angry neighbours that like to scream at one another in all sorts of languages. So I apologise if you hear them.
It's all right. I'm also in the room with a 5-month-old puppy. So she's currently
welcome,
sleeping.
Honey. Well, maybe. So this is how we're going to record going forward if we can't get into the studio, which is a very handy setup. And it means we are timely because we've had a complaint, haven't we?
I got a text from Cal the other day. He was on a stag do with his friends, and one of his friends, Rob, his girlfriend Sophie, is
Sophie.
A fan of the podcast. Hi Sophie. I've not actually met her yet, even though I keep pestering Cal about going on double dates and stuff. And I just got a text off Kyle, like, we'd not spoke all day. He was on a stag do. I wasn't bothering him. Just, Rob said that Sophie likes the podcast and she gets really, really annoyed when you say you're going to do things and you don't. And I was literally like, oh no.
Well, sorry. It's sorry, one of those Sophie. Things. We've explained it a million times. And we've been meaning to do this. But like we said in the last episode, which was also late... we didn't want to do this because we're not sat together and obviously we're best friends, but this is how it's got to be now. So we're going to be more timely. Who knows? There might be little mini bonus episodes now and again.
Don't push your luck. I don't. Charlie, we cannot promise any more than bare minimum. We're not capable of doing bare minimum.
Well, we're not. But also because I own a production company, we've got two good mics. We've got a nice little setup on good old Riverside that's allowing us to professionally connect. And hopefully we sound okay. Not as good as the studio. But hey ho, you win some, you lose some. So we're sat at home with the wine. Maybe this is our new feature. What are you drinking, Ames?
I'm not entirely sure what it's called. It's French and it's a rosé and it's got chickens, like illustrated chickens on the bottle.
Look at all those chickens.
Look at all those chickens. Why don't you say what you're drinking whilst I Google what this is mine's called?
I'm actually going to show because I can't speak French. That reminds me of that
so
meme.
I let funky music do did you, talking,
no,
talking,
did you no. see the meme of
Liam Payne?
She was like, I can't speak French. And he's like, can't speak English. With his stupid
that was
accent.
It was awful.
So, Will Smith actually lived behind me. Shut up. Anyway, what am I drinking? I'm going to show you because the luxury as well of this new platform is that we can film. Obviously, it's webcam quality. Not 2004 webcam quality. But I'm drinking.
How does it work? Like, will people just be able to log on? And I mean, this sounds like we've scripted this for you to be like really shit. Like, so how does it work? But I genuinely have no idea. Like those ads I keep getting. They're ridiculous. That's like, obviously, somebody's recorded them with like little to absolutely no budget. And it's one person on one side like, oh no,
same person.
Get a loan. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. Same person. Oh no, I can't get a loan. Well, have you tried this loan company? No. What company is that? It's XYZ. You should really have a look. You could get a really good interest rate. Wow. Thanks. I'll try it. I keep getting served those ads and they're so irritating because they're just so shit.
You do such a good impression. So yeah.
Because I've seen so many.
Well, the way that this is going to work is that now we're obviously connecting on webcam. It's filming our video. So we can show everybody you doing the ad, but we can also show the wine on social. I'm drinking this. It's quite a nice shaped bottle. It's like, for those who haven't seen this clip on social media, it's a bottle that's, how would you describe it? It's just like quite a sexy, like, svelte bottle. It's like wide at the bottom. It's like a bell bottom. It's like a pair of bootleg jeans.
Yeah,
but with a normal top. So it's a rosé with a very nice bottle, which first attracted me, but it's a very nice bottle of wine. It's called Origine and it's a Côte de Provence rosé. Since 1813, this vineyard. Nice. The Negrel family. So that's what I'm drinking. Have you found your chickens yet?
Yeah, but I won't be able to pronounce it.
Okay, you could show me. I'll give it a try.
La Vieille.
Oh, well, La Vieille, I think it is.
How do I know that's how you pronounce it?
Well, the only reason I know is because I studied French.
So, yeah, it is French and it's a very light rosé and it has illustrated chickens on it.
Look at all those chickens.
It's very nice.
Very nice. We both opted for a rosé. You can tell spring is here. We're too far into this podcast and we've done too many stupid things. Hmm. So do you want to announce what we're talking about, Ames?
Yeah. So today we are doing hair, aren't we? I did think
that was
about
so
what...
underwhelming.
Well,
so today
what more
we
job...
are doing hair.
Well, we're doing hair. Like, I was sat thinking the other day, what could we do this episode about? And I was like, right, there are quite a few things that I think would make really good topics, and hair was one of them. And then I sent the list to you and you were like, actually, I think I'd find this quite interesting as well. So here we are. We're doing hair.
Yeah. And actually, if we cast our minds back 2 years before the Panny D, when we were planning our year content, this hair episode and scalp episode was supposed to be one of the first episodes. And I remember because Alex's dad was taking an interest, so my boyfriend's dad was taking an interest in the podcast after I had protested that it was not told to his family that we had this podcast, and he told them anyway. He was like, hey, you should do an episode on like shampoos and conditioners. I was like, you know what, Martin? It's in the plan. So I remember
Great
that we planned
idea,
this
Martin.
A long, long time ago. So thank you to the co-producer, Martin. Martin Brown, thank you very much. but
name,
I think...
No diss to Martin Brown. It sounds like you've made it up on the spot.
It does. His name is Martin Brown. And actually, it was an episode that we'd put off doing way back when we recorded Social Chain Days because we wanted to do a bit more research, didn't we? Pleased to say, I've done no research. But I have got advice.
No, I've got no research either, but we've, you know, from the very start, we've never claimed to be experts. We are just giving...
friends.
We're just giving our own advice and, like, talking about our experiences with whatever topic we're on.
Yeah. And when I say I've done no research, it just means I've not read any white papers about it, but I have done a lot of research in when I've been trying to find products or, like, trying to correct any problems I've got with my hair. And scalp as well, because we are broadening in terms of it's not necessarily skincare, but it's beauty. And guess what, guys? You've got skin on your head. So it falls into our remit. So we've done a little scripty poos because we're not together. But the first part of this podcast is a catch up. And we've discussed the listener being late, sorry, Sophie, but there's something that you want to talk about that I've banned you from talking about up until now, which is skincare.
Yeah.
Go for it, because I'm disgusted by this. I've got so many questions. Have you got it with you? Go get it.
Do I have to?
I want to see the packaging, yeah.
I'm sat under a table, though. Right, 1 minute. Because I'm actually going to turn the heating on as well, so.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Right. I'm back. I have it.
Right.
Let me give you a little bit of background info before I tell you what it is.
Yeah, please, because I have a lot of questions.
I don't think I'm going to be able to answer all of them because, like I said, it arrived yesterday. But basically, I think I saw like a little glimpse of somebody talking about this on Instagram or something. And then I thought, what the hell? Obviously, like you would.
Yeah, like me right now.
Where it's going to be. So I Googled it and it's got really good reviews, like thousands of really good reviews. And it's meant to be really good for like pigmentation, hydration. And I thought...
I almost don't care how good it is.
It was half price. I got it for 11 quid. So I bought it and it came. And this is it.
Yeah.
Can you see? So it's like...
And is it a mist or like a...
No, it's like a gel.
Yeah.
You can kind of see it's quite gloopy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So it is... Is it Corset? Cosrx, the brand? Cosrx.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have seen that before.
It's Korean, isn't it?
Yeah, Cosrx. I don't know how you say it.
I don't either. Anyway, it's the advanced Snail 96 Muchin Power Essence.
So this was my first question. How do you say that? M-U-C-I-N.
M-U-C-I-N. I'm going with Muchin. Mucin. Mucin doesn't sound right. Muchin sounds like a gel that would come from a snail. So last night when I went to use it, I was a bit like, this is kind of creeping me out a bit. I feel like it was an impulse buy. I didn't really think about it. And luckily, it's got no scent. Obviously, it doesn't smell like anything. It's literally just a really lightweight gel. And it didn't, sometimes a gel, like, I put it on, it's fine.
Yeah,
and then
it can
I feel
be
a bit
drying.
Tight afterwards. Yeah. This wasn't, it was really nice. And I'm sorry, but if you look in the video, look how glowy I am now.
I mean, yeah, you are glowy. You're always glowy. But I've got a few questions about this. One, the first was how much was it? Because you didn't tell, I told you to not tell me anything about this so we could have this conversation on the pod. It's £22 full price then.
So around that benchmark, I got it from Amazon. It was £11.
All I knew that was that you bought it from Amazon. So it's from Amazon. It cost £11 half price.
Yep.
And is it made of actual? What is snail muchin? And right. Is it genuine? And how? What percentage is in there? What other products are in there?
I've given it a little Google, so I'll read out what Google says. In case you're incapable of Googling it yourself.
I haven't Googled it because I was waiting for you to tell me on here.
It was a joke. This advanced snail 96 Muchin Power Essence compromises 96% of skin-friendly snail secretion filtrate. Skin-friendly snail secretion filtrate that is effective at repairing damaged skin, improving skin elasticity. Elasticity.
96. I was genuinely thinking that there's
maintaining hydration level all day long.
I'm not surprised, Amy, because the thing is, you put salt near one of those animals and it shrivels up and it dehydrates because it's made of moisture.
I know, I love putting salt on slugs. I hate them.
Right. 96% is a phenomenally high amount of a product to be in a product. So you're telling me that there's only four... What's the other 4%? That has blown my mind. I genuinely thought you were going to be like, it's like 10% snail trail.
Right, I'm going to Google.
You're putting snail trail on your head.
Snail muchin.
Snail trail.
Corsix ingredients.
Snail trail.
Right.
This is almost as bad as the foreskin facial aims.
Well, I mean, it's not, like, come on, it's not that bad. It's got, honestly, Google, it's got so many good reviews.
Right, this reminds me of when Alex and I got a Christmas tree last year. I was like, I want this kind of tree. And he was rolling his eyes like, for God's sake, why do we have to spend £50 on a tree? And I was like, fine, I'll buy it. So I bought this tree and it was tiny, like really tiny. And I took it to my mum and dad's, I bought it at home. And she was like, why have you spent £50 on that? She was like, oh, it's because it's still alive. And I was like, oh, yeah, it is still alive. As in, it came in a pot with soil. And then on New Year's Eve, we had some friends over and it was quite warm in the house. So we opened the back door. And then on New Year's Day, we came downstairs and there was snail trail all over the rug downstairs. And it was because a slug must have come in. It turned out to be a slug, but it turned out that it must have come in when the door was open all night, and then we couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, for God's sake. Then I don't know what was on the floor, but I could see snail trail all around it. And then when I was getting rid of the Christmas tree, I found the bloody snail in it. When I was putting it outside, the slug was there. So it's like someone scraped all that snail trail off of the floor, put it in your
key ingredient.
Facial gel.
It's a snail extract that brightens, hydrates, and supports healthy skin repair. And then it's sodium.
Wait, do you think it's actually from a slug, but they didn't want to just call it slug extract?
I really hope it's not from slugs. Sodium hyaluronate.
Yeah.
A form of hyaluronic acid that dramatically boosts skin moisture. And then arginine, an amino acid with antioxidant properties. So, you know, I don't know what more to say to you.
I want to know how they extract the snail trail. Do they get it to wander around for ages and then like peel it off? Like, I'm guessing it's snail trail. It must be. And anyway, what's the texture like?
It's literally just like a...
Is it like
gel.
A light gel?
And I squirt some out. So it's like...
I don't want to... That looks like the picture that you sent me yesterday.
What picture did I send you yesterday?
Right. There was a personal trainer on Instagram who was wearing...
Oh.
His grey joggers. And me and Amy have been to a few classes before. And his classes are just full of women. There's rarely a guy in there.
He's a very good looking
quite
personal
for
trainer.
Obvious reasons, yeah. And I sent the picture to Amy and I said, we can see your whole penis. It was just in the grey joggers, so obvious. And in response, Amy sent back a picture of her literally dribbling. And if you imagine dribble coming out of somebody's mouth, that's exactly what the snail mooching looks like.
Can I just point out that I am in a very happy relationship? I love my boyfriend.
There's a whole snail range. Oh my God, it's 24.
I don't think it's that uncommon. Like,
this is wild. So I think they've... What is... I'm going to Google the word mooching and see what... Right. Mutins are the most abundant macromolecules in mucus... It is snail trail. And are responsible for its biochemical and biophysical properties. Mutin-like molecules cover various protozoan, parasites, fungi and viruses. Sorry if you can hear Alex just wandering around. What is the function of mutin? Do you want to know?
The thing is, though, I do actually really like this.
The primary function of mutin is the protection of the intestine and appears to be dependent on at least four factors. I'm not going to go into that because that's quite complex. But the difference between mutin and mucus is that mutins are a cell surface, but mucus lies over the top of it.
Nice.
So it's snail trail.
I'm not put off. I've had a very good experience with it so far.
I'm really keen to know whether it's a snail or a slug because they wouldn't market it as a slug trail. They wouldn't market it as a slug mutin.
Well, a slug and a snail is pretty much the
anyway,
same thing,
we've spoken
it?
About this for a long time. You've got yourself some snail trail and you like it and it was half price on Amazon. We'll post a link in case anybody wants it in the show notes, hey? In case anybody else wants to buy it.
I'd recommend. It's made me nice and glowy.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Something that made me glowy when I went to Paris was the new Isle of Paradise oil fake tan, which I thoroughly enjoyed. If anybody wants to buy it. Another thing that I enjoyed today, just to wrap this up very quickly before we get into the actual topic, is the cheese and caramelized onion hot cross bun from Sainsbury's. We had a debate
very
about
nice.
This, but it was really good.
I'm more of a sweet hot cross bun girl myself.
So... Shall we get into the actual topic at hand, which is hair? Well, right, where shall we start with this topic?
So I've always had, I wouldn't really say unhealthy, but I wouldn't say healthy.
Healthy.
Maybe, I wouldn't say toxic either, because it's not, maybe just like...
You've had a tumultuous relationship with your hair.
It's just been very up and down. Because I only realised it a few years ago, but it has been quite like a long process. But I kind of only stepped back and realised like this is actually not normal. It was actually when we were living together. I used to pull my hair quite a lot. And I know this is really common because I've spoken to multiple hairdressers about it.
I went to school with a girl that did that.
I used to pull it quite a lot. It's got an actual name, the condition, but I can't pronounce it. It's like trichotillomania or something.
That sounds a bit like the thing that you don't like, the tryptophobia, is it? The holes?
Tryphobia, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
So I used to pull it and like it was when I got like stressed or anxious or something just wasn't really going my way. Like it's kind of my like stress relief. Mm-hmm. So it's never stayed the same, you know, where I'd pull it. It's always varied. So
as in like where you'd pull it from your scalp?
Yeah. So when I was younger, it was right from the front. I'm not even joking. I had like a triangle in my hairline when I was like 16. Luckily, it grew back. I'm actually really lucky because every single time I've pulled it, and I've pulled it from the front, I've pulled it from the very bottom and the back, I've pulled it from the middle, I've pulled it from the very top, like it's always grown back, which I'm actually really grateful for. But I remember like in lockdown, I never used to wear my hair down because I would have it all down straight and there would just be a massive gap like where I'd pulled it all from and it was all really short. So I have always, always just been really self-conscious of my hair. So I've always just worn it back in a bun or, well, that's it, in a bun. I've always just worn it really slick back. And you can probably, you know, if you go through the Instagram, you'll probably be able to tell, like, I never wear it down. Like, I never style it. I feel like I don't really have much experience with styling it because...
Yeah, but it suits you as well, though. I think the thing is probably a lot of people that wouldn't suit that. And I think because it's suited you and it's been convenient and it's made you feel comfortable, that's why you've done it.
Yeah, it is convenient. Like, I don't have to worry about... Because I feel like my hair doesn't hold anything either, like curls, it does not hold. So it's just, I've always... Like, I will literally get ready if I'm going, like, a day out or a night out or whatever. I'll get ready, I'll do my makeup, and I'll be like, I want to do my hair curly. And then I'll get to the end and I'll make my friends curl it or I will try and do it myself. And I'll literally, before we leave the house, just tie it back. Just always.
You're either a hair up or you're a hair downer. I'm a hair downer.
I'm a hair upper, and on my wedding day, I'll be a hair upper.
Yeah, I was going to say, on your wedding day, you need to do what you would normally do.
On my wedding day, why do I want to worry if my bangs are... Sometimes I experiment with my bangs and I'll have my bangs out.
Oh, yeah. Looks nice.
But I'm not really a full-on committed hair downer.
Yeah. Well, I would say as well that your hair is quite... You've got a lot of fine hair. Like, you've got quite a lot of it. So it's not something that you would notice. Like, I know you're saying that you would, like, have your hair down and you'd feel like there was a gap. I don't think it was something that anybody would ever notice.
I'm not even joking. No, it was, like, inches wide, like a massive gap. I'm not, like, exaggerating that. I remember looking at it and being like, oh, my God. Yeah, I do. I've got quite thick hair, like, a lot of fine hair that's very thick. And it's quite frizzy. And I have quite an oily scalp. If you've obviously been listening to this podcast for quite a while, you'll know that I'm a very oily guy, like nails, skin, hair. It gets greasy very easily and quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'm obviously the opposite. Actually, no, I'm not the opposite. I feel like I have quite an oily scalp, but I have fine hair, not as much as you. But I don't know. Would you say my hair's thin?
I wouldn't say it's thin, no.
Yeah, but I wouldn't ever describe it as thick. It's by no means thick. Maybe I do have like fine hair. But my scalp, I used to do a similar thing to you, but I've used to like scratch my scalp or like slightly pick at it a little bit because I had a lot of dry patches on it. And that would be my thing. If I was stressed, I would like pick at my scalp. Or if I was thinking about something really deeply, I'd pick it. But the problem was, and we'll go into this, I guess I can probably talk about it now, but the problem that I had was that I had a really sore scalp because I was using the wrong product. And I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to talk about this on the podcast until I'd actually been able to get to the bottom of what it was. And I finally found out what was causing the irritation on my scalp that then would lead to me picking away at little dry patches because it wasn't, what's it called when you get the dry patches of skin? It could be literally anywhere.
Dandruff.
It's called psoriasis. Sorry, I've remembered. So it's not. It wasn't ever psoriasis because I'd figured it out from just Googling or whatever. And then I realized that it was dry shampoo. And as soon as I stopped using Batiste, which was obviously the cheapest, most accessible dry shampoo, which I'm not going to say is bad if you like it and it works for you, but that was the problem. I mean, it's literally like £1, £2 a can, maybe. And I tried to look into the specific ingredient, but at the time, like, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, you can't read a lot of the ingredients on the back of a thing anyway. But it was the dry shampoo. And because I have to wash my hair every other day, I would use dry shampoo every other day on the days where I hadn't washed. So it's kind of like an ongoing cycle. And I think it's really hard to wash out dry shampoo, which will bring me on to something else later. But it would sit on my scalp and cause so much irritation. And I'd go to the hairdressers and they'd be like, oh, it that looks really sore. Like, you've obviously picked away at it because they're like colouring my hair, they're having to put into fine sections. And I'd be like, you know what, I can't get to the bottom of it. And I'd be like, are you washing your hair properly? Are you washing everything out? What products are you using? And it turned out, as soon as I stopped using dry shampoo in lockdown, it gone. I didn't need to use it because I wasn't going anywhere. But then when I started going back into normal life, that was when I had to find a product that actually worked. And we'll talk about it in a bit. But I think both of us have like an oily scalp, but my actual hair can be quite dry. And I think to be honest, it mostly comes down to just the colouring of my hair, which I know that you're going to talk about products for colouring hair in a little bit, aren't you?
Hmm.
But shall we, I mean, we can start with the dry shampoo if you want, or do you want to start with your kind of how you sorted your hair situ out?
I don't really know if I've sorted it because I still do it. I feel like it's a habit that's really hard to break. But don't get me wrong, I do not do it half as much.
Yeah.
As, like, I remember when we went to see Chemical Brothers and I remember, like, the crown of my head, I had like a massive thick chunk of hair, like that thick, like about as thick as like a 5p piece. And it was about 2 inches long, but like literally like that. And I remember having to move my low bun to the middle of my head so that could fit in. But luckily it's all grown back now. And if anybody's listening who kind of does the same and thinks, why do I do this? It's really, really common. Like, cause I used to be like, why do I do this? Like, this is really embarrassing, but I can't stop. And I remember speaking to hairdressers, like multiple hairdressers, before, you know, we found our holy grail.
Yeah.
Guy, yeah. We'll talk about
things. Oh my God, Connor.
He was literally like, oh, I've seen loads of this. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I've seen so much.
But don't you think that's like, really important that no other hairdresser has said that? You've had plenty of hairdressers and he's the first person to turn around and say, I've seen this loads. Like, don't be embarrassed by it.
No. Quite a lot of hairdressers have said to me, it's normal.
I see. Right.
But
still, love you, Connor. You're the best.
No, yeah, of course. But it's actually quite nice because I have been going to him for 2 or 3 years now. So he has kind of been there when I've had really short bits, and I'll go and he's like, oh my God, your hair's like nearly all one length now. And I'm like, you remember?
Yeah.
It's really sweet. Yeah.
I love him.
He's like, and I always say to him, like, what condition is it in? Because I use, well, I mean, I'm going off on a different topic altogether, but like, I'll use different oils and stuff on my hair and I have no idea what they do. Because I don't really pay much attention to my hair. I tie it back. I don't know if it's healthy or not. And he was like, no, it's looking really good. It's really healthy. And I'm like, thanks.
Love you.
So, yeah.
By the way, I just want to add that, so Amy's been going to Connor for like 2 or 3 years, longer than that maybe. You were going to him when
before
we lived
lockdown.
Together. Yeah, it's like 4 years maybe.
Yeah.
And then I swapped hairdressers quite a lot for like cost purposes or... it's actually quite a funny story. I want to quickly go off on a tangent. I swapped my first hairdresser, Imogen, love you, Imogen, because I just couldn't afford to pay those prices. And I went to a hairdresser who was giving 25% off because I was a member at a specific gym. And I was like, yeah, perfect, saves money. And then after lockdown, obviously they weren't offering discount because I was like, they weren't making any money and I wasn't going to ask for it. But I was like, okay, this is now more expensive than it was when I went to Imogen, and then felt too embarrassed to go back to Imogen and be like, I'm back. Hello. So then I was like, right, I'm just going to have to stick with this person until I can get away. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was that they cried on me while they were doing my hair. And they cried about Britney. And I know what's happened with Britney is really sad. And at the time it was like we were waiting to find out if she had like got her conservatorship like cancelled or whatever or annulled. And they just started crying and they were like heartbroken, telling me all of these things to watch. And I was like, this is too much. I've come here to get my hair done and I feel like I'm having to be an emotional support puppy, being like, it's fine, don't cry. Like I said, it is sad. But then I was just like, I need to find a new hairdresser. And then I went to Connor. And then after we were like, oh my God, Connor, absolutely stunning. He's gorgeous. And
oh my God, he's such a gorgeous man. He's so beautiful.
He's just like naturally stunning. And then we saw this picture of David Beckham in the 90s with Victoria. And we were like, oh my fucking God, it's Connor. And we sent it to him. I was like, Connor, this is you. This is our hairdresser. And he was like, it's David Beckham from 93.
Didn't he reply like, yeah, it does look like me.
Yeah, he did.
He is so down to earth. So on our level. Yeah, I look like David Beckham.
He's just,
but to be fair, he did.
Oh, I want to be his best mate. He's so much fun. But he's anyway.
Good. And also, sorry, while we're on the topic of Connor, the last time I went to him was a night after I'd spent with you and we'd stayed up. It was like 4 a.m. we'd stayed up till.
Drinking the wine that I'm drinking now.
Drinking wine, playing Monopoly. And I think like it was a very, it was like one of them nights where like you laugh, you cry, and then you go to bed and you're like, night. And I went for my hair the next day and I was so hungover. And like, I walked in and I was like, I'm rough. And he was like, okay. And I felt really mean because I just wasn't really up for making much conversation. And the head massage he gave me,
oh my God, I was rough.
Oh my God. I lay there and I was literally like, I don't want this moment to ever end. Ever.
You know what? You were so thrilled. When I went to see him a couple of weeks after that, he was like, yeah, she came in and she said she were rough. So yeah, just left her to it. And then I was thinking, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get a head massage. But then he did a really quick one and I was like, damn, I should have said I was rough. But anyway, we found a really lovely hairdresser.
He's great, yeah. But yeah, so the kind of ending to that story is I don't pull at my hair as much anymore to the point where I have short patches, but I do have short strands. And I do think it is a habit that will take, like my mum said to me, I know I keep going on a tangent about this. My mum does it as well. And my mum has said, and my cousin has said this, my cousin works in psychology. She said, you literally, if it's that bad, it's something that you like have to go to therapy for, because it's something that you do subconsciously that you don't even realize you're doing it. Like you need to like knock it out of you.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you've got enough power to do yourself. If it's something you don't know you're doing, you don't even realize. Yeah. So I think it will be a long kind of journey, but I don't have short patches anymore. And that's the end of that.
Yeah. So another thing that Connor had taught me, we do have a point to share in all of this information about Connor, because he's actually done a really good job of kind of explaining things. And I think we've been quite lucky with the hairdressers that we've had in that they kind of explain things. It's not the kind of hairdressers where you'd go, you'd be like, I want highlights. And they'd be like, yeah, cool, fine, off you go. Like they talk to you about things. And I remember Imogen being really good with this sort of thing. And there was something that she'd posted recently, the apartment MCR, or her salon is called The Apartment. And she'd shared something about sulfates. But first of all, when I have flyaways, so because I colour my hair and it's quite fine, I think it's quite easily damaged. And so for that reason, I actually don't style my hair at all. As you can probably tell, Ames.
It looks good. Literally, if I take mine out of a bubble right now.
Those little straggly bits. It's because wet. You always have it back.
And it's wet.
Yeah, fair. Well, I've kind of got to the point where I know I can't style my hair every day because it's in a really bad condition, and I would rather have, I'd rather have my hair that looks a bit messy and pull it back into a ponytail than put heat on it. So when I last went to Connor and he blow dried my hair, I was like, how do you manage this? Because I just thought it was heat in general that was damaging my hair. And he was just like, no, the flyaways are made worse. He was like, do you have a nozzle on your hair dryer? And I was like, no, I've lost it. And he was like, that's why you need to put a nozzle on your hairdryer to make sure that you're not making the flyaways worse. Because I literally would just like blast all over.
Me too.
And then I got to the, yeah, I got to the point where I was like, right, I'll blast with the hot air to get like the main moisture out of my hair, like wetness. The water, I'd get the most of the water out of my hair with the hot heat. And then as soon as it got a bit drier, I'd slowly go down and then I'd finish off with cold air. And I'd still get flyaways. They weren't as bad. But then he was like, you need to just put a nozzle on your hairdryer and then bam, it's gone. And I don't know if that's really obvious advice or not, but what did you say?
He also said to me, because I very rarely dry my hair with a hairdryer unless I wash, because I'm like more of a wash my hair in the evening kind of girl than wash my hair in the morning. So I'll just let it dry overnight. And that is kind of part of me, my hair journey, trying to make it healthy. I'll try and not put any heat on it. So I was saying to him, like, oh, Cal is after, because so me and Cal share a hairdryer and he's the one that kind of brought the hairdryer to the house. And that was his contribution as well as the toilet roll holder. That they're the only two things he contributed when we moved into the house, a hairdryer and a toilet roll holder. Anyway.
Well, she'd been squirreling away for 5 years.
Yeah, getting loads of nice prints, plant pots, books, fucking toilet roll holder. Anyway.
Everyone needs them.
True. Cal was like, I want a new hairdryer, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think I might get the Dyson, because he is very, like, he styles his hair. He's got a very good head of hair. And I'm quite jealous of it, to be fair. But, yeah, so I was saying to Connor, are there any you'd recommend? Like, the Dyson hairdryer, do you think it's overrated? It's obviously very expensive. And he was naming a few.
He doesn't use them, does he?
Not Dyson ones, no. And he was like, so what do you use at the minute? I was like, oh God, I don't even know, some shit one. He was like, does it have a nozzle? And I was like, no. And he was like, you need to get a nozzle. And I was like, why? Like, what difference does it make? And he was like, well, the nozzle, let's say it's what, 3-4 inches, like kind of long?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, if you're using a nozzle, it means that you are leaving that space and you're not putting the heat so close to your hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never even thought of it like that. Yeah, like you are literally forced to leave that amount of space so you don't.
Yeah, because I always thought having like fine hair, if I can't leave my, I have to hair dry my hair every time I wash it, because otherwise it's literally flat to my head and I look disgusting.
Yeah, but to be fair, sorry to interrupt. One of the points I've put in this script is I do let it dry naturally quite a lot of the time, but it does get or look greasier a lot quicker than it would if I blow dried it. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just going to say that if I use a nozzle, it would just dry my hair flatter. But I guess there's obviously different ways around that with different brushes and stuff. But if you struggle with flyaways, then get yourself a nozzle.
Did you not try the anti-snap treatment from Redken?
Yes.
Did that not do anything for them?
Yes. I wouldn't. I mean, I've used it today and I actually don't have that many flyaways, but I bought that mostly. I can't put that too high up on my head. I basically rub it between my hands, run it through the ends, and then I like tap a little bit on the top so it's not too greasy. Like I said, it's every other day I have to wash my hair, but I really like that product and it doesn't irritate my scalp, which is really good. So if you've got a sensitive scalp like yours truly, then it'll be fine.
But I do have that, but I don't use it very often. And
yeah, I like it. I've got the shampoo as well.
Yeah, I like the shampoo and conditioner of that range. You can sometimes find it in TK, but it is very rare.
Oh my
God.
I've not
seen it for months.
That would be like gold dust.
Another thing, I'm so sorry, this is me on a tangent. For the past 15 months, Cal has been using my shampoo and he used to shampoo his hair every day. And I'd say to him, this is becoming
every
a bit of a
day.
Joke. Yeah, he washes his hair every day. And I'd say to him, it's becoming a bit of a joke now, Cal. Like, you would be quite happy using very cheap shampoo, whereas I
chip in
20, 30, 40 quid on a big bottle of shampoo. I was like, if you're going to be using it every day, you need to be buying one, like, every
contributing.
Other bottle. And he never did, whatever. But we recently ran out of the massive bottles of Redken. So I am actually in the market for a new shampoo and conditioner. But like I have like little dribs and drabs left that I can use until that. So I'm in no major rush. Mm. And he came to me and he was like, I don't actually know where he got this information from. But he was like, I've decided I'm not going to shampoo my hair every day because it's
ruining it. Oh my God.
He was like, I'm going to stop washing my hair every day because it's making it really fine and it's not healthy for it. And I was like, I've literally been telling you this for years. Like, you do not need to shampoo it every single day. So he stops.
No one needs to shampoo their hair every single day. But do you know Joe Flinders? He's not washed his hair in about 3 years. He just wets it and dries it.
What?
Yeah. But it's like his, and for context, his hair is like, it's like a long, it's like Cal's, like long pushed back, like not, I don't want to call it a quiff, but it's like a styled hair.
It's like, and your hair looks sexy pushed back.
Your hair looks sexy pushback. Yeah. Oh my God, that's the name of this episode.
Your hair looks sexy pushback.
Yeah. And mine doesn't, so I'm going to put mine back. But yeah, I've heard that before. Apparently it's a thing, but I don't know if that's just like guys. Well, nobody would be marketing that to guys, would they? They'd be wanting to sell Alpacin or whatever it is.
Yeah, and on the topic of like, I don't want to call it crap because I've never tried it, but like, have you seen like the shampoo that's meant to be used on like horses' tails and stuff like that?
Oh, like mane, like, and
mane and tail or something.
Mane and tail, called. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
So what we've got from that is don't be shampooing your hair every day.
Yeah.
I think that's all we've covered in the hour and a half that we've been talking.
Right, no. So I think the thing is that you can't change and you can't help how often you need to wash your hair, from what I've gathered. And trust me.
Yeah, but is it not habit?
No, it's not, because I feel like I'm in a chokehold by my hair of washing it every other day. If I am working from home and it's day three where I would usually wash, I won't. And I'll go for a low ponytail, because on a call, if I've got a client, I'm sorry, but you can't tell if I've got white bits on the back of my head from dry shampoo. But if I am like out and about, if I'm working out or I've got calls or whatever and I want to look nice, and I'll wash my hair every other day, and there's nothing I have found that will change that. And when we were in lockdown, I was like, right, I'm going to train my hair out of it. You can't train the oil production out of your scalp. Like, you can't. That's the way that your hair naturally reacts. It's been like that my whole life. I've accepted it. I tried for so long. I went 2 weeks without washing my hair in lockdown, and it was disgusting. Like, yeah, some people might be fine with it, but I personally wasn't. I was like, this is itchy. It was so dry because I was using a bit of dry shampoo or whatever, but it was so uncomfortable, and I just thought, I can't do it. And my friend Phoebe has really curly, coarse hair. And she was like, my hair has never been greasy in my whole entire life, but I have to wash it to stop it being so dry and itchy. Like, she can't make her hair oilier. I can't make my hair less oily, but I can use products that will help it. And I think that's the difference. Like, back to the dry shampoo thing I was talking about earlier, because it's relevant now. I have an oily scalp and dry hair. So I use a hair mask, and my hair doesn't get oily with it. It's the how do you say it? Briogeo hair mask.
Oh, I'm not. Oh.
Did you not mean to do that?
I don't know why. It just came out. I don't know where it came from. I'm not sure, but I know which brand you mean, because I think I got sent a tester from Space NK with their shampoo and conditioner.
You did. It's the Don't Despair Repair.
Yes, it's quite popular.
Yeah, so I bought the small version, which was, I think, £15 from Space NK. And then the big pot is £32. And I don't mind spending money on my hair, because I do just think, I feel like I get quite a lot of confidence from my hair. If I feel like my hair looks nice, that's just a very personal thing for me. But I really like it because it doesn't make my hair greasy. It's not something I would sleep in. It's literally a 10-minute mask. But I will use that, and I will use a dry shampoo. And I know that you were talking about Living Proof, because after I realised that my dry shampoo at Batiste was killing me, I I had to go and obviously find another one. And when I was in Boots, I was looking for one and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to spend more and see if it's worth it. So I bought the Bumble and Bumble because it was the only thing that I could find nearby. Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned that you like the Living Proof one. So there's two Living Proof ones. There's the original one and there's the advanced one. And I was like, I'm going to go for the advanced one. I don't like it. It's £27, I think, for a can, which is fucking ridiculous. Like, I have to shake my head every time I buy dry shampoo now because I tried the Bumble and Bumble one, which was £25 a can, and it was the best thing I've ever used. It was light. It smelled really pleasant, like a very like delicate fragrance, and though it didn't leave any white residue no matter how much I kind of layered up. So I'll do like an overall one and then I'll just go back to the greasy bits again. And I then thought, right, okay, well, I like that one, so I'll try the Living Proof. And the Living Proof one is just, it's quite powdery. You can still see it on my hair because I have quite dark hair. And I don't think it's as effective as the Bumble and Bumble one, but they're both the same price. And I really struggle to spend that much money on dry shampoo. And I just think I'm spending, what, £45 on my shampoo from Function of Beauty, which I really like. And I'm not going to go into that now because I've spoken about it a million times. But I really like that. If I go through that really quickly, I'll have not much left. I spend a decent amount on the Redken anti-snap or the Bumble and Bumble protection spray. I'm just going to buy a decent dry shampoo and try not to use it when I don't need to.
Yeah.
And I will say that neither of them irritated my scalp. So if you're finding that you have an irritable scalp, you can feel dry patches, you pick them off, you have dandruff, et cetera, just get away from that dry shampoo for a bit and then give. And I know I really hate spending £25 on dry shampoo is disgusting. I can't get over it, but it's worth it, in my opinion, to not have an irritated scalp that and a dry shampoo that actually works.
See, I did like the Living Proof one, but yeah, I get what you mean. It's a lot of money to spend. I've not tried the Bumble and Bumble, but I have tried the Bumble and Bumble protection spray, which I really, really like.
Yeah, it's great.
But I know you're probably going to hate me for this. I don't dislike the, what's the brand? That's Batiste. Like £2. I don't dislike that. I'll get along with it and it's £2.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I feel like with, I mean, this is probably very common, but I do have to watch how close I am spraying it to my head because I can spray it and then be like, oh, funny story. One time, I don't actually know what I was doing this for. It was before a shift at a bar when I used to do bar work when I was at uni. I bought a dry shampoo, but it was coloured for brown roots. And it was when I had brown roots. But my natural hair colour is not, I wouldn't say it's like,
you've got a very light brown.
It's not like a chocolate, like a deep chocolate brown. It's like a mousy, light brown. And I remember spraying this dry shampoo and being like, it's fine, I'll blend it in. It did not blend. And I had to go to the shift with these roots that were so obviously, like, it looked like I just painted them on my scalp. And I remember going to, because me and Fran were on the same shift, being like, can you tell? And she was like, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you can
tell. It looks horrible. It was awful. It's,
well, the thing is, I don't have anything against Batiste other than it just doesn't agree with my scalp. Like, I wish I could use it. It's literally 250% cheaper.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper.
If that's but the right like maths.
Don't ask me. I did like the Living Proof, but I think for me personally, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I do get along with the cheaper one.
Yeah, fair.
If I don't spray it too close to my head, then I get along with it. Otherwise, I look like I've literally got like snow everywhere.
Love that.
Do you use heat protection? I feel like that's a really important thing.
I didn't used to, I will admit. And it wasn't until maybe a year, maybe 9 months, 12 months, whatever, into dyeing my hair that I was like, shit, my hair is so thin and so frazzled, I have to. And then I think I got I don't know where I'd got it. It was a Bumble. Oh, you know what? I got it off Depop, actually.
Mm.
Did a U. And I was like, I tried the Bumble and Bumble. I think I treated myself to something. I can't remember what it was. And then I tried the UV oil because I was going on holiday. And I was like, I'm concerned that UV is really bad for my hair because obviously I'm fucking all on my high horse about UV and SPF. So I was like, I'll get that. Loved it. And that's
it's really nice, isn't it?
Protect around the UVA. Yeah.
I've been using that for quite a few years. So when I went ginger with a previous hair stylist, she told me about the Bumble and Bumble UV protection spray. But I've also been trying, I ordered some GHD straighteners from Look Fantastic and they sent me like a free GHD heat protection spray. And it's really nice because I know this might sound like a really weird comment, but the nozzle is really wide, so when you spray it, it covers like quite a lot of surface area. So I literally feel like like a few sprays and then brush it
gets
through.
A lot.
Yeah, I feel like I'm covered like all my hair. But styling as well is something I wanted to talk about, like tools for styling. Like I feel like there's so many little things in the umbrella of hair. Like what do you use to style your hair when you do?
Yeah. So I, like I was saying earlier, the last time I styled my hair was actually probably when you came over for that night when you went to see Connor the next day. I use straighteners to just do a very subtle wave because I've realized since I don't do my hair, when I used to work at Social Chain, I would do my hair every day, obviously wanted to kind of make an effort and look presentable. And then lockdown happened and I was like, okay, I don't need to. This is my natural hair. And I actually quite liked how it was drying. So then when I started curling my hair like I did at Social Chain to go out, I was like, this feels too perfect. Like, this is too much. This is not my style anymore. So I'll put like very subtle curls into the GHD. But then it was my mum's birthday and she wanted that GHD Rise. Is that the one you've got?
Not the Rise, it's just the hot brush. So it's like the paddle brush, isn't it?
Yeah, so I have the paddle brush.
Because, oh, sorry, yeah, and your mum wanted the Rise.
Yeah, so my mum's got short hair and I have longer hair and I didn't want to curl my hair with mine. I just wanted to essentially run a bit of heat through it. Oh my God, I said essentially. Is that the first time or is that the 60th time? I don't know. I just wanted to run heat through it so that the flyaways would go away. But then I've since found out all I needed was a fucking nozzle. So I dropped £70 on this damn thing. But I bought it off of Depop and I got proof of purchase. I got the receipt sent in the box. And I think they're usually like over £100. And I like that.
They're quite a lot.
If I want to go for like a sleek, straight look, I'll use that. But if my everyday hair is just my natural hair thing, but it's very, very good for sometimes if you've got fine hair and you want a straight style, or you want a straight style with like a little bit of a curl in the end, you know, like a not a curl, like a flick in or out, you can do that with this paddle brush. And I quite like it for that reason, but I wouldn't advise it if you want to get a curl, because then you did your market research, you tried mine. Mm-hmm. And because you wanted a curl, I didn't want a curl with mine, but you did. So then you bought, there's two versions of this GHD hot brush, a circular one, like a tong, and then one that literally looks like a hairbrush. I have the one that looks like a hairbrush. And then you tried it and you're like, no, I want more of a curl. So you got the tong version.
So I just wanted a bit more, it's not that I wanted a curl, I just wanted a bit more volume.
Yes.
And I feel like the roundness of the GHD Rise would give me the volume that I wanted for the length of my hair.
Yeah.
So I use it, like when it first came, I used it on my bangs and I used it like you would, you know, kind of blow dry your bangs in like a bounce, for like a bouncy blow. And I loved it. I really, really like it. I'm yet to try it on my whole head because like you said, I've got a lot of fine hair. So it would take me a long time. And like, I am growing my hair out at the minute. Yeah. So I've just tried it on my bangs. And I literally, I think I text you this. I was like, I'd pay £75 all over again just to be able to have nice bangs whenever I go out, because I'm quite comfortable having my bangs down and my hair
up.
And that's just me.
Well, that's it, exactly. And I actually think as well that this is one hack. If you want to try any hair tool at all and you're a bit like, oh, I want to try it, the problem that you're going to face is that you're not going to know whether it's right for your hair. So something like a curling tong, you can see how like thick it is. You know if that's a type of curl that you want to go for, thin or thick. But with these ones, the reason why we both went to Depop was because if you've tried it and it's not right for your hair, then you can't return it. So you're obviously going to want to sell it because you've spent over £100 on this hair tool. So there's a huge market for secondhand hair tools where people have literally been like, I've used it once and I didn't like it. So if you're thinking about hair dryers, hair tools, especially these GHD hot brushes, which are very good and less heat than straighteners or curling tongs for everyday use, then definitely try it.
Yeah, 100%.
But one thing that I did want to touch on, I feel like we've rambled on for so fucking long in this episode, but one thing, well, two things I wanted to touch on were washing techniques and sulfates, because I remember when I got the Function of Beauty first, I don't think it's sulfate free, but it was talking about sulfates in a way that was, I know what to look out for because Imogen had told me I didn't want sodium lauryl sulfate. So sodium lauryl sulfate is the chemical that makes something foam. So if you can if you can put it on your hand and rub it between your palms, like you might do with a face product or something, a serum, if you do that and it foams up before you've touched your hair, there's probably sodium lauryl sulfate in there. It's usually the first five ingredients. So look out for that, because that is extremely bad for hair color. So if you color your hair, make sure that your shampoo doesn't have sodium lauryl sulfate in it. There are other versions of it, or other esters of sodium lauryl sulfate, which are sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium ester sulfate, I believe. This is off the top of my head, which I should have researched before we recorded, but whatever. They try to avoid any sodium lauryl sulfate because it's bad for your hair color, but it's also not great for your scalp. Not that good for hair, general scalp health. But sulfates, you do need sulfates in your shampoo, because sulfates are, this sodium lauryl sulfate creates the foam. You'll see it in all of your body washes, bubble baths, all that sort of thing, hand soaps, but then you don't want it on your head. If you get rid of sulfates altogether, it doesn't properly clean your hair. So you will struggle to get all of the grease and the oil and the product out of your hair, which then led me on to kind of searching into different products that you might need for build up. So you might have seen on Cult Beauty or Look Fantastic or whatever that there are clarifying shampoos, and they're not supposed to be used as your every other day, two times, three times a week shampoo. They're supposed to be used in addition to a normal shampoo, because they help to break through any of the dry shampoo, the oils, the serums that you're using, if you use them on your scalp, just to make sure that you're actually cleaning your hair. But something that you can do to clean, to make sure you fully cleaned your hair before you need to get to the point of a clarifying shampoo, is to double cleanse. And I never did that. So we've spoken about double cleansing with your face, but I never did it with my shampoo. And I came across
I always double shampoo.
Do you?
Always. Yeah, always.
I just always thought it was such a waste of, it's like lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat.
It's a lot of products that you're using, but I do get it. Like your first layer of shampoo.
I just realised why you didn't laugh at that joke.
I didn't get it.
Oh!
Why? Whoa!
Because you hate Friends!
Yeah, I've never
Oh my God!
I'm I don't sorry hate to interrupt. It. I don't want anybody coming for me. I don't hate it. I've just never watched it.
Right. So the one of the main characters, Phoebe, is a singer, but she sings songs like Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat, why aren't they feeding you? And she sings like stupid songs. And
I know what Smelly Cat is, yeah.
Well, so one of them is about how to wash your hair, and the song is called Lather, Rinse, Repeat, and the song literally goes, lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat, if needed. And basically she was singing the back of a shampoo bottle because it says lather, rinse, repeat if needed. And I always thought it was just a way to make you use more shampoo faster so that you'd have to buy more. Mm. So I just ignored it.
It's a lot of products that you use because obviously you're using double. But it does make sense that you would have to, like makeup, like you'd have to, if you wear a lot of makeup in the same instance, if you use a lot of products on your hair, you need to get the layer off first to get it all removed, and then another layer to make sure it's actually all gone.
Yeah.
So like the first layer or like the first shampoo cycle is kind of getting all the shit out of your hair.
Yeah.
Then the second one is what's actually cleaning it.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this girl a shout out. Let me just go to Instagram and find her handle because I saved it. She's like dedicated her Instagram to hair care, and I think she's been on like a hair care journey. But it's meant that she's been sharing quite a lot of information around how to look after your hair properly. And one of the things that she'd said was to wash your hair and do like a double wash. But there were a few tips that were... So I'm really sorry, I can't find the name of the girl or the account. I'm going to do my best to find it and we can share it when this episode goes live. This is not my intel, but she was saying that I was obviously fed this damn reel because I have greasy hair and Instagram somehow flipping knows.
Instagram knows you're greasy as hell.
She knows I'm a greasy bitch.
You're greasy.
A greasy bitch. But she was the girl in the TikTok, in the reel, sorry, Instagram don't kill us, was saying that some of the main problems that people with greasy hair have that will make their hair wash last longer is that, one, they don't use a clarifying shampoo. So I'm yet to find one. I literally saw this TikTok reel a couple of days ago. And the other thing was that they don't emulsify the shampoo. So when you put it in your hand, you just put it in your hand and you put it straight on your head. Rub it between your hands and get it a little bit lathery. So the lather, rinse, repeat, the lather bit. My shampoo doesn't contain sodium lauryl sulfate, so it doesn't bubble up, but it emulsifies. It turns from like a clear gel into a white gel. And then if you massage it into your scalp, try and do like the top half. And then do the bottom half. So underneath your head, the top part of your head, and then make sure you get into the back of your scalp. So like the very back opposite the other side to your eyes. But don't rub it through the ends of your hair because it can be quite drying. So like I was saying earlier, I have an oily scalp but dry hair. I don't put any shampoo on the end of my hair anymore. I leave that for the conditioner. So I'll do that. I'll wash it out. And actually, I'd seen something a long, long time ago that was saying if you double wash your hair, the first time you do it, it won't bubble up as much, even if you don't have sodium lauryl sulfate in it. The second time you do it, if you wash your hair and it doesn't bubble up, it means it's dirty. If you wash your hair and it bubbles up, it means that you didn't need to wash your hair because there's nothing for it to get. So when you're washing your hair the first time, it's pulling out all the oils, the dirt, any product. If you're like Cal, if Cal washes his hair every day, he's probably finding that it's really soapy, like very bubbly. It goes lighter very quickly. So on the second wash, you should be realizing that your shampoo is getting quite foamy without doing anything different to before. So that's when you know that your hair is clean. And like I said, if you're washing your hair and you constantly have foamy shampoo, it's because you're washing it too much. You don't need to wash it that often.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, the double wash is really good. And then only use conditioner on the ends because obviously there's more oils in it. So you don't want to put it on your scalp if you've got an oily scalp.
100%.
Obviously, if you've got a dry scalp, then you need to make sure that you find an oil that works for you. Unfortunately, we can't vouch for this. But I would be brand first over the cheapest, quickest thing you can find if you're really concerned about it, because I feel like there is a difference between products that are cheaper and more expensive because they'll literally use the cheapest products within that product. But Jizu, my mum's been using that and she has quite dry hair, I think mostly from the menopause, and she really likes the Jizu range. You know, the honey.
It looks lovely, that. Yeah, it looks really nice.
Smells great.
was the video that you're on about on Beauty Bay, because you've sent it to yourself. Yes, on Birthday Skin.
It was. Yes,
but it's
thank
not.
You.
It doesn't tag. It doesn't tag her. Oh yeah, it does. Abby Young.
Abby Young.
That's what she's called. Abby Young. Yeah, there you go.
Abby Young. That's where I saw it. So yes, it's how do you spell Abby?
A double B E Y and then Young without the O.
Young. Right. There you go. Yes, that's it. So if you have a look at her, it's like 65 plus K followers. She shares a lot of tips about looking after your hair. I'm going to give her a follow from Birthday Skin now. I might drop her a message and say that we were talking about her, because she's sharing a lot of info around, I think she's got dark hair and she dyes it blonde. I am very aware that this whole podcast is primarily our hair type. It's not curly hair. It's not afro hair. It's not.
Oh my god, though, do you know what I realized before when you were just talking randomly, when you've just said curly hair, you know, when I've said that I've pulled hair out and it's grown back, the hair that's grown back is obviously like fresh baby like hair. It's never been treated, it's never had bleach. When it grows back in ringlets.
Really?
Yeah, really curly.
I do sometimes wonder how old is the hair on my ends? Like, how old is that? Like,
years
3 years?
But it made me realise, if I, obviously, I mean, this is quite unrealistic for quite a lot of people, but if I went through adulthood never doing anything to my hair, I would probably have very curly hair. But because I've bleached it and been bleaching it and dyeing it for so long, it has just made it straight. Like, my hair is naturally very straight, like polka dot straight. But in pictures when I was a baby, it's curly, wait, it's ringlety. Wait.
Go back. This is why I love you so much, because you say cute things like that. You've got, I think what you meant was that you have poker straight hair, but you said you've got polka dot hair.
Poker straight.
I know, but it's sweet. It's endearing. I love that. But yeah, don't you think that that's like the hair extension industry is so interesting. You literally cannot do anything to your hair. You can't use heat. You can't use colour. You have to use a very strict shampoo and then they shave
it
off.
Oh my God, I've been there. I had extensions for so long. Like,
no, but if you sell your hair for extensions...
Oh, you mean if you kind of like cut your hair off
and
then...
they don't cut it off.
What are you going on about?
Yeah, so if you get hair extensions, if you get natural hair extensions and it's from somebody else's head, it's a massive market over in the East, and you can't apply heat to it. You can't, like, people earn their full wage and a really good amount of money from selling their hair for hair extensions. And when they get their hair to the right length that they're looking for, like there's different length extensions, but they shave it off and then you go back to bald. They don't just like, or at least I could be wrong actually. I've always been told that it's like a shaved head, but there's the whole industry of like, you spend years growing it and making it perfect so that it can be dyed to any color that it needs to be made to and then sold.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it?
Mental.
I feel like my hair journey is wild, because I have been a lot of colours under the sun. I've been a bright red.
The ginge!
I'm talking like 15, 16 years old. I've been
you were actually red. You did that. Rihanna.
I've been like a purpley black. I have been like gingery. I've been like bright orange. And then for a while I was black, just like really, really
jet black. That's
like
a lot for
your,
you're quite pale. You're like my damn rosé, nice and pale.
When I look at myself with black hair, I don't think I look weird.
No, you don't.
Because I would think the same, but I don't think it ever washed me out. My mum was always like, "You suit every hair color. You're really annoying."
You do.
Thanks, mum. But yeah. So, and then I've also bleached it and been blonde. I just feel like I've had extensions.
You've done everything. Talk to me about the ginge though, because I loved that ginge was so nice. I know it was hard to keep up, but it looked phenomenal.
Everybody said to me, don't go ginge, it's really high maintenance. And I was like, no, I want to do it. Like, I'd been thinking about it for about 2 years. Kind of like, is it Sienna Miller type ginge, where it's like no, a she's really blonde. Coppery. Yeah, but she Stacey used to be Dooley. Ginge, didn't she? No.
Let I'm going to give it a Google. Sienna Miller is my favourite human on earth. And then I accidentally met her in New York. I didn't meet her. That was an absolute lie. Bumped into her in New York. And she was even more stunning in real life.
So it's not like an unnatural ginger that Sienna Miller was. It's like a coppery
didn't know she was ginger.
Of...
I love it. Yeah.
Yes. So it's kind of, if you Google, it's like a strawberry blonde. That's what I'm trying to say.
Strawberry blonde in the 90s was like being called a dickhead.
Yeah,
school.
I'm not sure we've learned. But that was what I was trying to achieve. It was kind of like, I've got very light hair anyway. I want to make it a bit ginge. I don't want it to look unnatural like Hayley Williams from Paramore ginger. But I want to... Iconic. But I want to, you know, I just want to experiment a bit. So I went to the hairdressers. I got it done. And she was like, you will have to get products that kind of keep this up. And I was like, okay. So I bought the Christoph Robin copper hair mask.
Oh my God, you mulled over this for so long.
What, Ginge?
I remember this taking you ages. No, finding the right hair mask.
The Christoph Robin one, it was amazing.
God knows so we can't make a decision between us, but you were bad with that one.
It was when lockdown happened and I was like, I need to find something that upkeeps this hair colour because yeah. I paid a lot of money to dye my hair to this tone. I want to keep it up. And this Christoph Robin copper hair mask, off the top of my head, I think it's about £40.
Yeah, I think it was more than that. I think it was closer to 50.
Either or.
I'm sure.
You just apply it for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And it's actually, it's not just for colouring your hair. It's a washout as well. It's a washout. Not just for colouring your hair, it was quite nourishing as well. So I'd use it on like a Sunday night every week and it would like just give my hair the boost of gingerness it needed. And it was a really nice colour. There's actually like pictures on the grid where I am ginger. But then after a while, there was really nice ones. Like I really liked it. However, after a while, it just became unattainable. Like it wasn't doable for me to keep up with. It was just a bit too much. So
expensive.
Do you remember when I used the Bleach London ginger?
Oh my God, yes. Wait,
and
was it not
neon orange? Yeah,
ultra bright. I mean, fair play. They're selling a good product there, but not what you were looking for.
So I did a Bleach London hair dye and they're for like really like cool people and I'm not that cool. So
these
I can't get away with
these
it.
These are like blue and green I put it on my and yellow hair. And shit, yeah.
Yeah. And it went bright. I remember FaceTiming Callum and being like, what do you think? And he literally was like, what the fuck? I was like,
I don't fancy
you
anymore.
Really upset me because I've just dyed my hair. I was like, I really like it. And I've just done it and it's undoable for now. And you're making me feel like shit. And he was like, well, do you want my honest opinion or not? But yeah, and then eventually that was when I went to Connor after I'd been ginge. And
yeah,
was
you
like,
did. Because it took you a long time to find someone that would do ginge. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's a good recommendation. I would say, actually, in the similar vein, I really don't like that we're just talking about being blonde with thin, straight hair. But unfortunately, this is the only experience that we both have about our hair. I will say that RCNQ in the Northern Quarter, if you live in Manchester and you have afro hair, they're training all of their staff on coarse hair, curly hair, afro hair, all different textures of hair. So it has dawned on me that this isn't a very kind of inclusive episode. But if you dye your hair blonde, again, I'm really sorry, feel quite bad about this. The Aveda hair purple shampoo is amazing. I just use the shampoo. I don't use the conditioner. But I, weirdly, when I wash my hair, so now I do my Function of Beauty, wash that out, and then, sorry, no, I'll do my Aveda, wash that out, then Function of Beauty as my double wash.
Oh dear, I do Aveda last.
No, because you want that to be like the first thing. Oh, wait. Yeah.
I wash all the shit out and then put the purple shampoo
on. No, you're right. I had the same thought. Sorry. Yes, you're right. I did do that because I was like, I don't want to waste this. It's expensive and also don't use it that often. You're right. So when I use it, like say I used it this morning, I wouldn't see the difference until tomorrow. I know that it's not, I know that's not how it works, but I don't click onto the fact, I don't realise the fact that it's the next day that I've been like, oh, my hair's a good colour. And then I'm like, oh, I use the purple shampoo. But I would say Aveda is a really nice brand to use. The cheap ones, if you're just foraying into your blonde journey.
Oh my God, the cheap ones.
So I don't drying. Oh.
I remember when we lived together, right? And I stole a bit of your purple shampoo and I don't know which one it was.
I know which one it was.
I came out with lilac hair. And I remember meeting you that day and you being like, what have you used? And me being like, just this purple shampoo I've got.
It's fine. I did worse because I used to steal your Kiehl's calendula face mask.
You bitch.
I used to run in and be like,
bitch.
And then
you
run out.
You know that's one of my favourite products.
I know. I used the tiniest amount. I was like, don't use a lot, she'll notice. But I'd be like, when you went home at the weekend, I'd be like, bam, get it.
I'm in shock. Your fucking purple shampoo made my hair lilac and you're there with glowy skin getting the benefit of a £40 face mask.
Yeah, I was going to say I didn't want to spend £40 on a face mask. But what I will say is that was the worst purple shampoo. It's the John Frieda wow. It's the John Frieda wow.
Wow.
Don't. Wow, you've got purple hair. It's awful. And also, that one that they sell in Asda, the small one that's like £5, don't buy it. Do not buy it. It will ruin your hair. If you're going to invest in spending £200 on getting your hair blonde, don't spend £5 on a purple shampoo to keep it up because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, it will work, but it will kill your hair. That's so funny.
The investment is all.
Do we have any other confessions of when we lived together? That was my worst one, and I vowed I would never tell you that. But after a few rosés, I've obviously let it slip.
I'm genuinely in shock about that. No, I don't really think I have. Mm. No. Purple shampoo, I remember running in, getting a bit, and then running out, and then literally afterwards being like, I was, for fuck's sake, why did I use that? Like, that is literally karma for stealing some of your shampoo. I've got purple
I don't think I got any karma from stealing your face mask, but anyway.
You can fucking send me a new one in the post, darling.
I can buy you a new one. They've actually changed the formulation now as well because I rebought it. And you can actually buy both.
Rebought it? Who do you think you are? Rebought it? You never bought it in the first place.
I didn't rebuy it. I just bought it. But the calendula, there's two formulas now and I'm going to find them because I preferred yours to mine. Calendula Kiehl's. Let's have a look.
I do know that they've changed the formula to it. I've heard.
I've just realised you can actually only buy one. There was a time where there were two different calendula masks, one with petals and one without, and I preferred yours, which is the old one.
Thank you. I did buy Carl's mum the toner that has petals in it.
Oh, stunning. So nice.
Really nice. I had that as well, if you ever used it.
Probably did. Well,
bitch.
No, because it's when you went home, so it was only the stuff that you just left. I only remember doing that.
That makes it better.
I think I did it maybe two or three times.
I don't mind, darling.
If I'd have asked you would have said yes, but I was just like,
I probably stole enough Jaffa cakes in my time. It's all right.
You did the bins enough. I've got one last thing to say before we go. I got some new perfume and I remembered that when I was supposed to send you your microphone, and this is what's reminded me, I was meant to put my tester in the bag. And I'm really sorry that I didn't. So this company, I have to talk about them. They're called Fern, F-F-E-R-N, and it's a fragrance company and they make 4 perfumes a year, winter, spring, summer, autumn, and they release it on the day that or you get posted it on the day that the season changes. So I just got the spring one and they only make a certain amount of bottles. So there's a limited amount of bottles, and you have to put your email address in and apply to be one of the people that buys the bottles. It's £80 for a bottle, which is, I remember when I used to think the Glossier You perfume was expensive for £45 a bottle. This is more expensive than that. And it's like a mid-range perfume for me now, in terms of I've got Nice Diptyque, got the Glossier for every day. Bam in the middle is Fern. And it is the most phenomenal smell I've ever had the pleasure of. It's unisex, so it's not particularly feminine, it's not particularly masculine, but oh my God, it's phenomenal. And earlier you reminded me of it because I was supposed to send it with the microphone, but you were talking about the spray on a perfume bottle. That makes such a difference, the distance that it sprays.
The depth kind of will.
Because I'll spray one spray of this perfume, which is something that I'd learned actually, 18% concentration is very high for a perfume, which is Fern. Eau de Parfum is about 8-10%, and Eau de Toilette is like 5-8%. So this is really high, so you literally need one spray and that's it. But when you spray it, it goes everywhere. And so anyway, Fern was absolutely phenomenal. If you put your email address in, then you can get put onto the list for the next one that'll be made. And if you don't like it, you get sent a tester that you can try. And if you don't like it, you don't open the official box. But I absolutely love it, and I just wanted to share that information.
So do you pay up front then?
Yeah.
And then pay without, when you send it back?
Yeah. So if it came and I didn't like it, then I would send it back and just be like, yeah, no, not for me. They'd send me my £80 back. But you can't just buy it. You can't just go online and buy it. Like, you have to be on the list, which is such a clever, culty thing to do.
It's a very personal thing, isn't it? So it's quite nice to know that you've got that and maybe not a lot of other people have.
Yes. I don't like it when people copy perfume. I nearly copied yours by accident, but I didn't. I went to the original Diptyque store, guys, in Paris. It was gorgeous. And I got this special candle, which is only sold in this shop. Isn't it nice? It's very masculine smell, actually. But yeah, the shop was immense, and I was smelling the perfume, and I was going to buy Fleur de Peau, which I really liked, and then I didn't like anymore for the reason why I just said. And then I was like, right, I need to find a new one, and I nearly bought Scents, which is yours, and I ended up going with the Tam Dao, which is very nice.
Lovely. I'll smell very it when woody. I next come round. Yeah, I like a woody
sorry
perfume.
I didn't send it over.
Yeah.
Well, this is an extremely windy episode. Windy, not windy. And thank you to our wonderful editor, Abby, of Team Astrid.
Thank you.
You have taken 2 hours and you've turned it into God knows what you've turned it into. But
I'm being really short now because I really need a wee. I'm like this. And I'm starving. It's quarter to 10 and I have not had my tea.
I know, I'm hungry now. Shall I just get a delivery? I might just deliver you.
That's
all. We'll see you next month, and we'll be online again. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as when we're in the studio. To us, it's quite a big difference. I don't know if it will be to everybody else, but we'll see you next month. We love you loads. We're sorry that we've been late.
Yes.
And because we're online, we will be much more timely and much more well-planned. So thank you for being patient with us. We love you.
Yes. Let us know if there's anything you would ever like us to cover as well. Give us inspo for episodes. Just what you'd like to hear as a listener.
And leave us a review. We've not had a review in a while since we've been doing monthly episodes. But anyway, we'll leave it there for now. We love you all loads. It's at birthday.skin on Instagram. And then I'm Charlie Perry and Amy L. Wall _ on Instagram.
It's actually _ Amy L. Wall.
Oh, sorry, I put it in the wrong place. Love you.
Bye. Bye.